In Tolkien's book, The Return of the King, we read of Frodo coming to Mount Doom while carrying the notorious ring, which brought an epic burden and an overwhelming weight of evil force. On approach to Mount Doom, Frodo's good friend Sam asks Frodo, "Can you manage it? Can you manage the load or the burden?" "I can manage it," said Frodo. "I must." The two hobbits had gone a few weary miles when they halted, and Frodo seemed nearly spent, occupied with his burden and with the struggle in his mind. He was almost too hopeless to care. Each day, each mile was more bitter than the one before, as their strength lessened and the land became more evil. And on that last day, Sam suggested that among all their pains, Frodo bore the worst, the growing weight of the ring, a burden on the body and a torment in his mind. Sam woke Frodo the next morning, and Frodo rose quickly, but when his eyes beheld the mountain and the desert, he quailed again. "I can't manage it, Sam," Frodo said. "It's such a weight to carry. Such a weight." Sam replies, "Come, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you and it as well. So up you get." Have you come to the Lord's house burdened this morning? Is there a load in your life that seems more difficult with each passing day, each passing week, maybe each passing moment? Is there a burden that has you almost ready to give up? There are so many kinds, different kinds of things that weigh heavily on the hearts and the minds of every human being. Our passage this morning exhorts us to consider the burdens of other people. Just as God displayed love to us at the cross of Calvary, we are to love others in that same self-sacrificial way. Church gatherings, such as we are here this morning, should never be a place to come in, get your fix, and kind of go out unnoticed. Church is a community. It's a gathering of believers. We took a couple of weeks at the end of 2018, and now a couple of weeks here at the beginning of 2019, to consider our community of believers, Harvest Bible Church, and how this community is caring for one another. Now, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian, you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then this morning you're going to hear about how Christ, you've already heard about it some, and you're going to hear about it more, about how Christ was willing to bear a burden for you, the burden of your sin. And I would invite you to pay close attention to what is called the gospel of Jesus, and to turn in faith and repentance and believe what Jesus has done in bearing your burden. And for us as followers of Jesus, those of us who have by God's grace been rescued from our sin, and Christ is bearing that burden for us, he has borne that burden for us, this morning we're going to be called, we're going to be exhorted to follow that selfless example of Jesus and to look around to one another and to bear the burdens of others within our congregation. So would you please turn in your scriptures to the book of Galatians. It's in the Christian New Testament, and we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians, the final chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to the churches that were located in Galatia. Galatians chapter 6, and please follow along as I read the first 5 verses. God's word says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Paul tells us that spiritual individuals are people who take up two actions. First of all, they are individuals who restore. They seek the restoration of brothers and sisters in Christ. In verse number one, he's talking about being overtaken. It's carrying the idea of someone who was surprised. They stumbled into across a transgression. They were not looking out for sin. And Paul is instructing us that the best thing for a brother or sister to do who has been overtaken by a sin is not to start up an email prayer chain and talk about somebody who's falling into sin, not to blog about it, not to social media about it, but to assist them, to assist the individual who has fallen into sin. Note that the command is for all believers, not just for the pastors. He says, those who are spiritual, those who are walking with Christ, restore such a one. Only God can actually restore, but he often uses the actions of brothers and sisters in that process of restoring such a one. But the second action is burden bearing. The second responsibility of a spiritual believer is to bear one another's burdens. In other words, it's not enough to simply help that individual turn from their sin and then leave them alone. Satan would attack this brother or sister after they have been restored. We're called to help bear those burdens. So Paul says spiritual people will take the action of restoring the brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen into temptation of sin, and spiritual people will bear the burdens of those who have been restored. And this second action is what we give our attention to this morning. There are many, many people that are a part of Harvest Bible Church that carry heavy loads. It may be the stress of their job. It may be a family relationship. It might be a physical trial of physical well-being. It might be a mental or an emotional struggle, or a host of other possible burdens. You're probably aware of a number of people that carry burdens that are far too heavy for them to carry alone. Now, the Lord doesn't intend for his children to be alone in this journey of life. We've covered that over the last few weeks. God doesn't intend for us to walk through this journey, this Christian life, on our own. He's put us in local assemblies. He's put us within the church so that we aren't alone. And similarly, on this one another passage, he's given us these burdens, and he's allowed these burdens to take place in our life, and we're not called to bear these burdens alone. Rather, we're called to help one another bear these loads. God has given to you a church filled with brothers and sisters in Christ to help you and for you to help them. Christ bore your greatest burden and has called you to bear the burdens of others. First, this morning, let us consider the instruction, the simple instruction to bear one another's burdens. Verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It could be translated this way. One another's burdens you must be bearing. We see, first of all, that this instruction is commanded. It's more than just a mere suggestion. It's not, oh yeah, it's probably a good idea. You might want to help so-and-so. They're struggling with such and such. Be a good sport about it and help them out. No, this is an instruction. This is a command to us. It's more than just a mere suggestion. It's the expectation of all who name the name of Christ that we bear others' burdens. Paul says this is fulfilling the law of Christ. And though we are freed from the law of Moses, we are under the law of Christ. And therefore, instead of laying unnecessary burdens upon others, as the law of Moses tended to do, we are to fulfill the law of Christ by helping them with the load which they are carrying. Secondly, notice, not only is this instruction a command, but it's given to all followers. Verse 1 tells us that the work of restoring a fallen brother is the work of the spiritual, but verse 4 explains that carrying out the burdens of one another is the responsibility of everyone. So this is not just the work of pastors or elders or deacons. It's not just the responsibility of Sunday school teachers or the junior church staff. Every believer, regardless of one's spiritual maturity, has been called to the task. It's an instruction for the church. Notice also that the instruction has the idea of present and continual action. We said a little translation is one another's burdens you must be bearing. In other words, it's going on now, and you must continue on in that action. I imagine that there will be much, probably already has been, much poking fun at the meteorologist this weekend or coming up in the coming week. So you all prepared for this big winter storm, and you are ready for all of this work that you're going to have to do. And when you see snow coming and you go outside, you see snow, it must be shoveled. I must be shoveling the snow, right? It's a present thought and it's a continual action. Get it off the sidewalk. Get it out of the driveway. This is the idea that Paul's telling us here. He says it's a present and it's a continual action. He was introducing us to this idea of a continued action. It's an instruction that something should be taking place in the present with a continual action. Do you ever wonder, kind of, how you're to walk a Christian life just at the basic level? What am I supposed to be doing day to day? What kind of actions am I supposed to be taking? Read God's word? Spend time in prayer? Draw nigh to Him? You want a real practical way to obey Jesus' instruction to love one another? Assist one another. Look for the burdens that other people are carrying. Look into your connection group list and people in your own connection group and find out where their struggle is. Bear the load with them. This instruction gives us an answer. One another's burdens you must be bearing. Well, and that kind of begs the question, doesn't it? What is a burden? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? Must a burden be stressful in order to qualify as a burden? What are we actually called to bear? What is a burden? The original language word here, it refers to a load that is too heavy, a crushing load, more than a man could carry without help. It's talking about every type of oppressing affliction that is capable of being shared by the brotherhood. That's pretty broad in nature, isn't it? Any load that is too difficult to lift and to carry. A problem that a person has trouble coping with. Have you thought within the context of verse number 1 about bearing the burden of another brother or sister's temptation to sin? This requires sympathy. It requires a selfless love to help a brother or sister who was under this constant crushing load of a specific temptation to sin. How can we possibly help bear the burden of someone else's temptation to sin? Maybe some struggle with covetousness and greed. So you can help encourage that brother or sister through the Bible to be content with what God has supplied to them. You can encourage them to focus on what God has already provided for them, given to them. You can help them to focus their attention on things above and not on things of the earth. You can help them to and encourage them to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. Or how about the temptation of sexual lust? Many men are faced with the choice of whether or not they will choose to sin by lusting. Ladies, did you realize that the way you dress can help a man who is tempted to sin in his mind? Let me be really specifically clear, the responsibility to godly thought is his. The choice of a godly thought is his. If he chooses wrongly, the sin is his. But at the same time, you can actually help your Christian brothers bear this burden towards a temptation to sin of sexual lust by adorning yourself in a modest way. There are some who lack self-control in other areas. You bear that burden by guiding your brother or sister in Christ back to Jesus and offer reminders of grace while steering them away from a particular temptation. We could apply this in many, many ways, but the command to bear one another's burdens certainly includes helping them with their temptations. Beyond temptations, there are the burdens of financial stresses, past abuse, scars left from choices that they made from the past, burdens of physical limitations or certain family dynamics, the loss of children, the loss of a parent. Are there emotional or temperamental burdens, guilt, worry, anxiety, sorrow, grief? There are personalities that some consider to be burdensome that they have. Friend, any affliction that a Christian experiences is a burden that we are called to bear with them. This is more than just putting up with each other. It's more than just a listening ear, although that is a great first step. It's a call to shoulder the load of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a call to carry something jointly with them. This could mean that you schedule prayer times with someone. Maybe be as simple as you offer to babysit for a family. It could be a financial gift that you provide to somebody. It could be sympathy. It could be providing transportation or a meal to relieve hardship within a family. The instruction is a command. The instruction is for all believers to follow the instruction. It carries a continual present tone, action. So Paul gives us clear instruction, but he also gives a warning to bearing one another's burdens. Something is going to have to be laid aside. Something is going to have to change if a believer is going to follow this instruction to bear one another's burdens. What's going to have to be laid aside? It's our own pride. It's our own conceit. It's our own selfishness. This is the warning that Paul gives. He says, don't look down on others as you seek to bear their burdens with them. Look at verse 3. For if a man thinks of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. What do you have to lay aside? You must lay aside your selfishness, your pride, your conceit. This is the warning. It's thinking yourself to be more important than you really are. It's the mentality that you think of yourself to be above or too good to bear another burden for somebody else. Paul says there's no room for conceit when we are assisting others, when we're helping them along, when we're carrying the load with them. So disapproving glares or condescending tones, raised eyebrows, snide comments. Well, if you never would have gotten yourself into this situation, you would never have to bear this burden. What's wrong with you? What were you thinking when you did this? These kind of comments are not appropriate. They're prideful. They're looking to self. Conceit breeds intolerance of error in others and causes one to think he is above failure. So I ask you, are you above bearing the burden of a brother or a sister in the Lord? Some of us like to point to the burdens that others carry and critique how they handle those burdens. Well, we say we'd never do it that way. How in the world, why in the world are they dealing with such and such in that way? The biblical mandate is to help them carry the burden instead of becoming conceited ourselves as we help them along. Pride says, I wouldn't do that, so I'm just not going to help you. Works on both the giving and the receiving ends of it. You cannot be conceited and offer to bear the burdens of others. Neither can you truly receive help from others if you have pride in your own hearts. If you say something like, you can't help me, you don't know my problem, you haven't walked my path, you don't know my past, therefore you can't help me, you're having the same problem of pride and conceit. Paul warns us that the person who thinks he's above failure is self-deceived. And then skipping down to verse 7, Paul reminds us that we may be deceived ourselves, but God is never deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. When you carry someone's burden, don't deceive yourself into thinking that you are something that you actually are not. There can be no attitude that says, can you believe they did that? They need this kind of help. They want that. That will not offer help. That will not offer hope to the individual who is struggling, to the brother or sister who is burdened. John Piper said it this way. Don't drop the hammer on a struggling brother. Be gentle. Get a shoulder underneath the load and help him up like Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50, Jesus encountered a sinful woman who wept at his feet and wiped his feet with her tears. And Jesus saw her need, and he responded with mercy, and he said, "Your sins be forgiven you." In John chapter 5, Jesus encountered the man at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus didn't drop the hammer on him. Instead, he said, "Behold, you are made whole." In John chapter 8, verse 11, a woman brought to Christ who had been taken in adultery, Jesus mercifully announces that he would not condemn her, and he exhorted her to go and sin no more. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, we read of how Christ spoke the words of mercy to the thief on the cross. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see the example of Jesus? He wasn't dropping the hammer on people who carried a burden. Instead, he bore a burden. He offered to help them, and he gave them hope in the midst of their struggle. When your spouse has royally messed up, and if you don't have a spouse that royally messes up, come see me. I need to learn from you or from them. When you have a spouse that's completely messed up, when your kids don't seem to get it after you've said it for the gazillionth time, when the people in your connection group, the people that you love at Harvest Bible Church, seem to be making the same foolish mistake over and over and over again, you don't need to drop the hammer on them in order for them to get it. You don't need to drop the hammer on them as if that's somehow going to help their struggle. They need you to put a shoulder under the load and walk with them selflessly, recognizing that your burden has been lifted by Jesus. Therefore, I want to help others with the burdens they carry. The instruction of bearing one another's burdens is supposed to be a present, continual action. There's a warning that Paul gives. Hey, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You needed help. Jesus bore your burden. Now care for one another. Show compassion to one another within your own group. And then thirdly, we see the method to bearing one another's burdens. We're to do so with eagerness. This is what Paul is communicating to us in Galatians. Run to the burden of others. Be quick to it. Run to meet a need. You train your young men in your house that way, right? You train the young men in your train, hopefully that way yourself, and you're looking to train other young men in that way. A lady is in the hallway. She drops something. Be eager. Run to her to help her. Run to give assistance to her. Grab whatever's on the floor and hand it to her. It's with eagerness that they're looking to help. This is what Paul has in mind. As soon as you become aware of a burden that others have, run to them in support. Lend your shoulder to carry the load. Don't wait for someone else to come along to help them. They are in need now. Show the love of Christ now. But we do it not only with eagerness, we do it with endurance as well. His instruction has this thought of caring and loving and showing compassion and doing so with perseverance. Because remember, it's a present action and it's a continual action. So you're there for the long haul. You're there for the enduring perseverance of the struggle. Paul had endured some kind of thorn in the flesh that was an affliction to him. He understood what perseverance was. Paul isn't instructing us to bear burdens of others on Sundays and then kind of take the next six days off. The instruction is to pitch in continually, not just when it's convenient. That's why we stick with our connection groups, right? And we bear the burdens with one another in those groups. Let me insert here the most powerful weapon that believers have in opposing Satan and the most powerful weapon that we have in bearing the burden of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The best thing that we can do is to pray. To pray for them, to pray with them, to pray that God would give help. Pray with endurance as the burden continues. So Paul says, go. Here's be eager about it. Endure. Stay there for the long haul. And then he says, do so by taking a look at yourself. He says, instead of comparing yourself with others, you should keep You should take a step back and take an objective look at yourself. If you compare yourself to others, you're going to end up saying, I'm doing better than so-and-so. And the conceit condemned earlier, or you will say, I am not able to do anything as well as so-and-so. And you'll fail to help. The burdens of other Christians are actually an opportunity for us to examine our own hearts. So how do you bear the burdens of others? Do you do so with eagerness, with a readiness to jump in? Do you do so with a persevering love that you're there for the long haul? Do you do so by the grace of God? I can't manage it, Sam, Frodo said. It's such a weight to carry. Such a weight. Sam replies, come, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you and it as well. So up you get. The first action towards success was for Mr. Frodo to acknowledge that he could not indeed manage it. It's a difficult step to take. It often comes only in an act of desperation after much time has elapsed. Christian, the burden of your own sin is too great. The punishment for your individual personal sin is spiritual and physical death in a very real place called hell. Friend, the first step you must take to acknowledge that you cannot is to acknowledge that you cannot indeed manage the weight of your sin. Christ understands the battle that wages for the souls of mankind. And Christ has been tempted in every way like as we have, yet he never yielded to any temptation to sin. Christ went into a wilderness himself and faced the evil one directly and never succumbed to the extreme temptations to sin. So Jesus understands. He is sympathetic to the temptations that you face, to the burden of temptation to sin. And because he has loved you from before the world began, he chose to climb a mountain himself, bearing the burden of a cross. And once he arrived at the top of that hill, he willingly was nailed to the cross. And yet that pain paled in comparison as to what was going to come very soon for him. On that old rugged cross, the scriptures tell us that he became sin for us. Jesus, who had never known sin, became sin so that you might bear his perfection, so that you may be perfect before God. Do you see what happened? He bore the burden that you could not bear. He picked you up and he carried you while you held on to your own eternally damning sin. And then the one that spoke creation into being, the one that breathed into man the breath of life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the promised Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, he cried out, "It is finished." It was a victory cry. It was a declaration that he had accomplished the task. He had indeed bore your burden of sin. He had carried our sorrows. He had been smitten and afflicted by God. And Christ died. Only Jesus, only Christ, the Son of the living God, could do that. Only Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, could do that. Only Jesus Christ, who never sinned, could bear that burden in our place. Only Jesus was able to appease the justifiable wrath that Almighty God had for the sins of the world. Only Jesus was qualified to bear the burden of our sin. And so the call for Christians is to follow this anguishing example of Jesus. The call is for us to experience the burdens of others, just as he has experienced our burden on the cross. The call for you today is that you would live with a cross kind of love. You see, the only way that we can actually bear one another's burdens is if we have a constant gaze on Jesus Christ, who bore our burden. So then, when we sing, and when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. The only response we could give would be to say, my God, how great Thou art. Let us stop. Let us cease from our foolish ways of looking down on others for being burdened themselves. Let us remember that if it were not for the sheer grace of God, we would still yet be facing the burden of our own sin. Let us repeatedly cast our gaze on Jesus, remembering the burden that He has borne for us. And by the grace of God, let us respond by throwing our shoulders under the burdens of our brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.